Hello and welcome to Storytime with Tom and Mike. I'm Tom.
And that makes me Mike.
Mike, what's with the hand? What you doing there?
I don't know.
You were going like this, like some kind of like robotic dog. Like, arf, arf.
I don't know. It makes me feel like weird if I was going to jerk off with that hand. It's not a robotic dog. It's my hand.
I wouldn't worry about it that much.
Yeah, you're right. A robotic dog might bring me pleasure.
You never know.
It's
you
true.
You never know.
It's true.
Yeah. What could bring me pleasure?
This episode will come out right after, well, what, less than a week after Zombie Jesus Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Like, why doesn't anybody ever talk about the fact that him coming from the dead would have made him a zombie?
I think people talk about it. It's just that, I don't know.
That was a fantastic
argument.
Very in-depth answer, yes.
Yeah. Well,
I think people talk about it, but I don't know.
I'm pulling out all the stops tonight.
I see that.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a matter of, like, there's three classes. There's people who go, yeah, duh, he's a zombie. Two, there's people who are religious who go, that's offensive. You're going to hell. I'm going to pray so hard for you. And then there's people like me who go, actually, it's not so much that as he is a lich.
I knew you were going to say lich. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you go by D&D terms, he's first of all, zombies don't have any self-awareness, and Jesus was fully sentient.
Yeah.
He had fucking powers. Right. And he had powers before he became a lich, which was the prerequisite to becoming a lich, is being a powerful wizard.
Hmm. I had somebody at work that I was getting, I got in a discussion with about Zombie Jesus. That said, he really feels that Jesus got his powers from aliens.
Okay.
Like aliens, came to Earth and helped to settle civilization, make people, you know, Homo sapien, I guess, at some level, and helped to you know, push Christianity forward by giving Jesus special powers.
Hmm. Well, that's no less comical than anything else, I guess.
Oh yeah, I totally was a, you know, just trying to be funny, telling me the story, and I was like, I seriously hope you don't believe that.
Well, I mean,
I personally think that there has to be life out there, and I do think that, you know, aliens intervening could explain some things.
It could,
that are unexplainable.
It could, but it's implausible. It's highly, highly implausible.
Maybe that's what they want you to think.
Well, no, it's what the rules of physics want you to think.
Or physics don't apply to them. Maybe.
Maybe they found ways to circumvent the laws of physics, but you can't break the laws of physics. They would have to travel through... first of all, they'd have to be able to produce a tremendous amount of energy. Second of all, they'd have to find us, which we've only really been transmitting radio.
They already know we're here.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Why would they know we're here? We've only been transmitting radio signals for like 170 years or 150 years.
We don't have to be sending radio signals for shit. They just fucking were like, hey, there's something else going on. And their technology is so far advanced that they don't need to play by our rules.
That is highly illogical, my man. Highly illogical.
So you say. I mean, what is to say that, you know, some of the fanciful things that we've seen on Star Trek and so forth aren't real in their world?
Say that again. Because that didn't make shit sense to me.
It should have. I said we've seen these fanciful technologies that supposedly possibly could exist on Star Trek and stuff, and you know, in Star Wars and in other sci-fi movies. I mean, who's to say that they don't have technology that just outruns what can be thought of by the human mind?
Right, but it still has to fall within the lines of physical law.
As we know it, perhaps their physics are different on their planet.
How would that be? Physics is physics, dude. It's just the how. It's just the ruling. It's
as
the
we understand it, but if they have the technology to bend physics to their will,
I think you're being all fanciful, like.
Possibly.
I think you're being all fancy pantsy and not scientific at all.
Well, I'm saying science as we know it is basically stuff that has been studied on this planet, mm-hmm. and very minimally studied off of this planet, right? Can we agree on that? Except for in controlled situations on space stations or in spacecraft or what have you.
Right. But we can produce predictable, replicatable models based on physical law.
Okay.
And those physics are universal. It's the basics of thermodynamics. I'm not saying that there can't be huge gaps of difference in between one planet and another, but anything that we can presume that exists within the natural world has to obey the basic laws of physics as we understand it, the basic laws of thermodynamics. You see what I'm saying? So we can't just throw it to the wind and say anything is possible. Now, if you want to get multiversal with, start getting kind of like, oh, well, you know, in other, I mean, sure, within the multiverse, there certainly can be universes that have a completely different physical laws,
mm-hmm.
right? But yeah. within our own local ordinance, our universe, as we understand it to be, the planets and the stars and all that, I don't think that it's likely that we'd find anything that bends the laws of physics. More what we find that bends the laws of physics is when we go down deep in to the quantum level and go, hey, what the hell is going on down here? You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, when I hear you say, I don't think it's likely, I feel like it's like saying, so you're saying there's a chance. That's
well,
all.
Well, certainly I don't know for sure. You know, there's always new information coming out.
Either way, I think that aliens are just smart enough to stay away from humans. Bottom line, they're like, wow, they are really fucking shit up and are really stupid. And we'll just wait.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't really think that aliens would be very interested in us to begin with because we don't really have much to offer the larger universe, as far as I'm concerned. We're still very petty. We're very warlike. We're very insular. We're tribal, and most of us don't understand. We don't have big enough brains to really comprehend statistics and things.
And science, apparently.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, there's certain things we literally don't understand.
I was busting my own chops there. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's things that we literally cannot comprehend that we work with. We have machines that do it for us, you know, computers and stuff that crunch these numbers, but we're not possibly capable of understanding those numbers. They're beyond our ability to even comprehend. So we're very, very well equipped apes, essentially. And I would think that in order for us to participate on a larger scale universe, we'd have to, first of all, master our understanding of how to live on this planet without destroying it. Two, how to master how to live in a society without destroying it. And three, how to harness the power of the sun to fully not only fuel our planet, but also any ships that we might have, you know? So we'd have to be like a class one civilization or even a class two. Like class
now
two.
Now you made me think of like a solar powered spaceship.
Why not?
I was just thinking that'd be cool as shit. Like you could literally fucking recharge it
anywhere,
pretty much. Anywhere. As long as you were in the proper spot in orbit.
I don't know. I guess it has to depend on how much actual solar energy is being hit by. I mean, out in the depths of space, but it'd be nice to have it as a recharge when you hit your destination, right?
Yeah,
you know, you hit Mars and you're like, well, I'm still within range of the sun, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and just flip these panels up and recharge my batteries.
Yeah, recharge your phone so you can make calls, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get a lot of bars out there on Mars. No bars on Mars.
No bars on
Mars.
That's
our title.
how did we even get into this? I'm not even sure.
I have no idea.
I also really thoroughly enjoyed the thought that aliens could be like hillbillies, mm-hmm. like, and not understand anything. And just be so far away from us and just be like, gleep a goop a gawk gloop, you know, and shit, and just, you know, be dumb as shit.
Just like have ships that were made by some other alien race that's far advanced, but they're really stupid. But for some reason, they're like able to get out into the universe at large, and they just cruise around and do stupid shit like finger our buttholes. Cow rectums and shit.
Possibly, yeah. I'm also thinking that there might be a lower class of aliens that like tries to make ships out of fucking trees and stuff like that. It's like a bunch of logs put together and they're trying to fly it. You know, I don't know.
I'm just picturing hillbilly aliens abducting us, be like, we're gonna finger this one's butthole.
I feel like they already finger our buttholes. Isn't that like a
yeah. That's a big trope.
I was going to say, like the biggest known trope of alien abduction is that, oh, they're going to put things in your butt.
Yeah,
and cut you into pieces, possibly. I don't know.
Do you know why that's so popular? It's because of that Whitley Strieber cat who wrote...
I was going to say, because people are all obsessed with anuses.
Well, no. Whitley Strieber wrote the book Communion. Do you remember mm-hmm. that book?
Of course.
With the horrific alien on the cover that scared the shit out of me every single time I saw it.
I feel like I should read it now.
It's actually a pretty good read. If you don't take any belief in it, it's just fun to read. It will creep you up and keep you up at night, though. Because you'll peering into the dark corners of your house.
I already get kept up by other things anyway that are much more real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting read. I liked all of the books, but he's clearly like just trying to build his own cult of personality. And he keeps stringing people along with promises of answers, and it's just more stupid stories. And I mean, the man's basically sitting on a mountain of money laughing at anyone who believes him.
I got to talk about something that I was recently turned on to that is disturbing me to no end, that people would even push to have this be said out loud.
Okay.
We're all familiar with Bob Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows who Bob Ross is. Amazing fucking painter, soft-spoken dude, was a drill sergeant in the Air Force back in the 60s, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, possibly earlier. And is just world renowned for his lovability, the way that he loved his viewers and fans, and seemed like a very mild-mannered dude. Lately...
Hold on, may I step in real quick?
Yeah.
He was actually a master sergeant, then a first sergeant. He never actually... was a drill sergeant.
I thought that he spoke of being the one who had to yell at people and shit like that all the time.
He might have had to yell at people, but I mean, that comes with command.
Okay, well, either way, I had at least the sergeant part right and the branch of the military correct.
Here he says,
Two out of three ain't bad.
Having held military positions that required him to act tough and mean, he says, the guy who makes you scrub the latrine, the guy who makes you make your bed, the guy who screams at you for being late for work. Ross decided he would not raise his voice again when he left the military.
See, I automatically went to drill sergeant when I thought of scrubbing the latrine and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my bad as a non-military person who automatically assumes, oh, if they're mean, they must be a drill sergeant. That's the way that my mind worked with that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the latest... conspiracy theory, because you know there's a conspiracy theory about fucking everybody and everything apparently,
yeah,
is that he was a serial killer and the paintings that he did
were
maps to places where there was bodies buried, and allegedly now there was a body found at a cabin out in the middle of some of nowhere, and it looked... Okay, when I saw the picture of the crime scene versus the painting that it was supposed to be, I don't think they looked anything alike. But, you know, like, I'm just saying, this is the most asinine thing I've ever fucking heard. But you know, now you've got this image of Bob Ross being a fucking serial killer and like leaving, you know, tantalizing paintings behind so that they could find his victims at some point. And they've gone as far as to be like, did you ever notice that like there's no smoke coming out of the chimneys of the cabins that he paints?
Oh,
and there's very rarely anything alive in the paintings. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that almost every fucking time I watched that show, there were birds in the sky. What were those? They were vultures circling dead meat or what? Was that what I was supposed to believe? They didn't really, you know, address that part of it. But
I seem to remember him painting a deer once, possibly even a person.
I swear I remember him like painting a bunny.
Yeah, I don't think he usually liked to populate his worlds.
I don't remember him ever painting people, but I do remember wildlife. I always remember birds because he was always doing like them M-shaped birds, like way off in the distance and shit. But that is something that was brought to my attention recently, and I've seen a few like from obvious not authoritative YouTube channels and so forth. It just disturbs me that they have to, because like it or not, when something like this gets brought up somehow to someone, it becomes fact and it gets written down and it gets notated places. And then somebody might see it and be like, oh my God, I was just reading about this Bob Ross guy. Amazing painter, but he also killed people. And it's fact now. Like it kind of pisses me off that people would have the gall to say something like that about such a dude who seemed to be so gentle.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You know, speaking of conspiracy theories, there was one that I came across that I really like about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. is that Ferris Bueller doesn't exist. That Cameron is in a deluded mental state and has dreamt up the entire cast of characters because Ferris is just his desire to be the free-loving, free-spirited kind of person who's dating his dream girl, because there's even scenes where he's clearly in love with her, but he can't do anything about it because she's with Ferris. If you watch every single scene where the three of them are in it, when him and Ferris Bueller and the girl are in a scene together, if it's them interacting with the world, Cameron's sort of taking the back seat and not saying or doing anything but looking on. It's always Ferris in this driver's seat.
Hmm.
So maybe there is no Ferris. Maybe Ferris is the sort of Ferris Bueller's Day Off equivalent of Tyler Durden, basically.
Is there a real though Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago? Wasn't that the name of the thing that that he uses?
That is such a deep pool. I might have to sit down a little more than I'm already sitting down. Hold on a second. Let's see if that's the correct name, because I'm going to be
pretty sure that that's what it is. It's been a name.
Yep. Abe Froman.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one thing that always stuck in my head about that movie, and I have no idea why.
That's hilarious. The Sausage King of fucking Chicago. That you remember that name. That's such a specific name. I can't believe you remembered that.
If I ever run into somebody named Abe Froman, I'm going to, I don't know, fucking die immediately. My life's complete.
That seems like a bit of an overreaction.
It's the Abe Froman reaction. Good old AFR got him again. What is AFR, the Abe Froman reaction? It happens every time.
I don't know. It's like the Reginald Bell Johnson conspiracy.
Yeah,
that all I've told you this before. I think we were doing a run through.
Yeah,
He always plays cops, and in his latest and greatest iteration, he plays a cop in a really cushy job in San Francisco, and everything seems great. And then in season two, Steve Urkel comes in and becomes his little personal demon and torments him for all the failures he had as a cop and the guy he shot and the kid he shot, remember, in Die Hard.
Die Hard, yep.
All that. All his failures, all his years of trauma on the force in big cities led him to an early retirement where he's not actually in San Francisco. He's in a padded cell, and Urkel is his own little personal hell demon.
You know what has made me really sad about Reginald Bell Johnson is that he never made an appearance in any of the Lethal Weapon movies.
No, he didn't.
That
Why?
Really feels like that would be
it almost
the
feels...
fucking perfect. It'd be almost too on the nose, I think, is why it can't happen or couldn't happen.
It almost feels like a Mandela effect thing. Like, maybe he was in them. Like, he feels like he should have been.
We just think it was Danny Glover all these years.
That's racist.
No, it's not racist. I just meant that we would they're interchangeable because you think, oh, Reginald Bell Johnson could definitely play that part very well.
Oh, he could, yes.
That's what I meant. You. That's racist.
That's racist.
I couldn't tell them apart. One is a rather short, squatty man, and the other one is very tall. I don't know. I don't see color, Tom.
Well, it's like assuming that Donald Glover is related to Danny Glover.
You know how many people have probably looked that shit up? I guarantee you, if you looked up the words, is Donald Glover, the first thing that's going to come across is either going to be, is he, what the hell's his artist
Childish
name?
Gambino.
Childish Gambino. Childish it's either going to be, is he Childish Gambino or is he related to Danny Glover? I guarantee
it. Yeah. He is, in fact, related to a musician whose name is also Donald Glover, if I'm correct. But I may be mistaken on that. But he's definitely not related to the actor, Danny Glover.
I bet he's not related to Crispin Glover either.
Probably not.
Could be.
See, now that's an assumption that proves true colorblindness and, in fact, extreme naivety. It goes a little too far in the other direction.
Yeah.
I love finding weird shit on the internet and then sharing it with people who aren't
ready for
it.
Weird stuff is cool, but sometimes like stuff goes beyond the point of just being weird and goes to like, you know, psycho disturbing shit to me. And then I'm kind of like, I don't know if I really want to see that or not.
I think that's some of the best finds, honestly. It's like stumbling onto someone's like open bedroom window. And they're doing something real weird in there that no one was ever supposed to know about or see, but you're seeing it. Undeniable, right there in front of you, it's happening.
I mean, I guess I could see that. I don't normally look in people's windows, but like I could like my mind wandered as you were saying, like what kind of weird shit would you see if you were peeking in your neighbor's, you know, fucking windows? Mm-hmm. I don't. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'd probably see more of my neighbor's titties than I ever wanted to see. I can guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. And she always wears like these loose tank tops in the summertime and then is always, you know, ugh, disturbing. Somebody said all titties are good titties. I don't agree. Not anymore. No.
Well, it's good to see that your tastes are evolving.
I thought you were going to say maturing, and I was going to go, whoa, whoa, not so fast on the maturing part.
It
may be evolving, but not necessarily in a good direction.
I chose my words very carefully, my friend. Gosh, what's your song of the week?
What's my song of the week?
It's a defense mechanism at this point when I don't have anything to talk about. It's like, okay.
I reached into the Wayback Machine to a band that I used to listen to super heavily in the late 90s and early 2000s and then just kind of stopped listening to them. And I've rediscovered. And this song always used to make me laugh. And this was purely the only reason why I chose it this week. Mm-hmm. And it is Cake. And the song is called Nuggets. Off of the Fashion Nugget album.
Yeah.
And it fucking makes me laugh every time I listen to it. That's like the only reason why. Because he's like, shut the fuck up. Like at the one point I always, like the little effeminate turn at the end of the up always made me laugh.
I never really liked this band. cake. I just because it was just too much. Like, he wasn't singing, he was just talking. It's like, he's going the distance, he's going for speed. And I actually liked that song, but that's the only song of his I like. The
girl, have you ever heard Italian Leather Sofa?
No.
Oh, it's such a good song. Yeah,
I'll try it. I'll give it a try. Maybe, for you.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't have to. You don't have to. I'm just saying, like, I enjoy the musicianship of it because the band is amazing. With the horns and everything. I just don't know what to categorize it as. Like, it kind of has, like, this ska kind of thing going on. It's kind of got this rock kind of thing going on. It's got, like, spoken word stuff, obviously, like you were saying, with the vocals. It's so hard to categorize it, but I know that it fills niches that I need to hear.
Cake band. So what are they considered? Alternative rock, country?
I don't know that I would say that.
Experimental rock, indie rock, funk rock, pop rock.
I would go with experimental rock. I think that probably is the most. Because, like, country, yeah, there's a couple songs that have a country tinge to them, but I would not call them country. So yeah, that's really. Kind of, I mean, this is somebody's opinion that made a fucking Wikipedia page. So that's, you know, true. What I mean,
that's true.
Because I would definitely, ska was the first thing that popped into my head too, because of the horns and everything.
You know, it's ironic that I'm sitting here railing against the vocalist of Cake being a spoken word only. And then I turn around and present you with my song of the week, which is which is I'm Not Your Dog by Baxter Dury, who, if you know anything about Baxter Dury, he's the son of Ian Dury, who was an English musician. And his work is largely spoken word over top of musical interludes. This particular song I really like just because it's got this sort of French woman singing in French in the, you know, at the breakdown. And the video is really good because it's just a man dying slowly.
I dug
the
beat of the song.
Yeah, it's got a good beat. It just feels good. And I mean, his stories that he tells are simple, but they're very evocative. You know, each one of his songs has like he's telling a story, you know, like, a lot of people say I watch too much, but you show too much. You know, that's just cool to me. So I enjoy that.
It's because of the British accent.
Well, and that and the fact that he looks like a much tougher version, like a tougher, more beaten up version of Doug Stanhope. Like if Doug Stanhope had any muscles in his body, he'd look like Baxter Dury.
I just for some reason, my immediate thought, whether you asked for it or not, was I thought of Doug Stanhope just getting punched in the face. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
I'm sure he deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen that happen, but I can very vividly imagine it happening.
I can
and
see
I'm sure
him
it has
off.
Happened in real life.
Yeah, I'm sure he's mouthed off to the wrong person and got punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
He doesn't really
He's not a very big dude or very imposing at all.
Not at all.
But he's got like a big voice.
He's got a big voice and he's very quick on his feet with witticisms.
Oh, yeah.
And he's great at dealing with hecklers. But I mean, and he's great at talking his way out of shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's been times where guys have fucking thrown bows at him because they didn't like what he had to say. Because he doesn't have a filter, you know, like most comedians. He doesn't hold back what he's thinking. And he has a very fatalistic worldview, which I often disagree with, but still find endlessly humorous. Like, I like Doug Stanhope as a comedian. I don't really think much of him as a person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you mean by that.
And it's one of those times where I can separate the artist from the art, you know? Like, I can't do that with Marilyn Manson, for example. You know, I used to love Marilyn Manson, and now it's like... and I think it has a lot to do with the fact... It's like Louis C.K. It's like his material is about the shit he was perpetrating, which means he's celebrating it in his music.
Yeah.
Just like Louis C.K. was celebrating the fact that he was jacking off to people, like by jacking off in front of an intern, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's gross, dude. The man had to be in his near, like, my age, right? And what's an intern? Let's see. What's typically an intern? Well, five women enter the room. Is it the 18-year-old? Is it the 47-year-old? Is it the 50-year-old? Is it the 30-year-old? Or is it the 29-year-old? Oh, gosh, look, it's the 18-year-old. How appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
She can't even drink yet, but she's good enough for him to show his dick to. You know, and he joke about shit like that. So, you know, he's just a scumbag.
Yeah. I found Louis C.K. delightful and funny at one point, and then that shit happened, and I was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah,
no, not anymore, man.
Yeah,
you know,
I still love movies with Kevin Spacey in them, but I don't like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah,
like, but with movies, it's a little different. I think, like, stand-up comedy is one thing because it's one person doing all the writing. But if you've got a movie, you're looking at all the producers, all the actors, all the writers, all the people that made that film possible, and it's a group effort, you know? Now, if it was some vehicle for that actor or some shameless self-promotion bullshit like anything Tim Allen's done besides the Pixar movies, you know?
Fuck Tim Allen.
Yeah. The only good thing he ever did was Toy Story, and that wasn't his gig. But, like, the Santa Claus, Jungle to Jungle.
I've never even watched any of the Santa Claus movies.
You shouldn't.
Like, never. I'm just saying, even though I have kids stuff, like, you would figure, oh, yeah, you probably watched one or two of them.
That's what we're going to do.
Not a fucking thing.
That's what we're going to do for our Christmas episode this year. We're going to force ourselves to watch one of the Santa Claus movies.
Oh, that's a tough sell on my end.
We'll watch it together. You don't have to suffer alone. We'll watch it together. And then we'll wash it down with some Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Because that's the universal panacea for my holiday blues.
I was going to say, is like Kevin James the antidote for the Tim Allen or what?
No. I will posit that...
Maybe we could watch We Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
No. That's just it.
Or I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Yeah.
No, it's just that's just it. Kevin James is not funny.
No.
He was
funny on King of Queens.
He's a fairly good physical actor.
Mm-hmm.
I will give him that. His physical acting is fantastic, actually. But he's not funny. And it's not Kevin James that makes the movie. It is the utter stupidity of the film. It is just the dumbest
fucking
movie.
I don't think I've ever seen two.
It takes place in Las Vegas.
I know I've seen one. Yeah.
And like, at one point he gets attacked by a giant bird for no reason while a man watches and plays piano and does nothing to help him.
All right, I'm in. That's all I needed to hear right there.
You need to watch this
film. You convinced me. Yeah. Yeah,
it's tremendous. It's a turd, but it's a delightful turd. You know, it's a gem of a turd. Like, it's the one that you go, oh, I can't just flush this without posting it to Instagram. I think that might go against their TOS, actually. But anyway, so that's like my universal holiday panacea. I have a few movies that are my go-tos now for like the holidays. One of them is Jingle All the Way. One of them...
The Turbo Man action figure.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
And Sinbad.
One of them is Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, which is not a holiday movie by any stretch of the imagination. But I started watching it because a podcast called Till Death Do Us Blart was, which I'll talk about in a moment, was doing a thing on a Thanksgiving every year. And then also because... the other one is that Christmas Carol. What the hell is it? A Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's my Halloween movie. Like, that's
good
my,
movie.
My go-to. That and Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is
Beetlejuice. You see that they're making a sequel?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. It's got what's her name, who played Wednesday Addams on the show Wednesday.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
God, Olivia Rodrigo's name popped into my head, but it's not her.
It's not that, no. But at any rate, it's her and Winona Ryder, and Michael Keaton is returning, reprising mm-hmm. his role.
So does the mother from the original Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I saw her in the previews. I don't know if the guy that was the father is still alive or not.
He is in jail, if I'm correct.
Hmm.
For pedophile stuff.
Okay, well, then good thing he's not in the movie.
Yeah, probably not a good pull. Let's look him up. Hold on. All right, so...
Because he was also the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, bringing this conversation full circle.
Yeah. Beetlejuice. All right, what's the actor's name? Jeffrey Jones. He is 77 years old. And following leads in an investigation of Paul Rubens, Jones was arrested in 2002 for possession of child pornography and soliciting a 14-year-old boy to produce sexually explicit images between September 2000 and May 2001. Jones photographed the child, paid him to pose nude on multiple occasions, wearing a cowboy hat with stuffed animals and dressed as a Native American. Jones, wow, he just had to be as super gross about it as he could, huh?
It's very specific.
Yeah, Jones surrendered himself and was released on bond prior to arraignment. He pleaded non-guilty to the possession charge and no contest to the charge of soliciting a minor. The victim initiated a separate civil rights action against him, seeking damages and compensation. The misdemeanor plea of possession of child pornography was dropped following the no contest plea. His attorney emphasized there was no allegation to improper physical contact. His punishment was 5 years probation, counseling, and requirement to register as a sex offender. As of 2021, he was listed on the California Justice's National Sex Offender Database. He was arrested twice for failing to update his sex offender status, first in Florida in 2004, and then 6 years later in California. He pleaded guilty to the felony charges in California, receiving a 250-hour community service sentence and an additional 3 hours of years of probation. In hours. In
It's over. You're good.
In 2006, Jones' record became the subject of community complaint during the production of Who's Your Caddy in Aiken, South Carolina. Upon learning of his involvement, locals insisted the movie public should have been alerted, considering that families were being invited to visit the set. Surrounding the release of 29 release of Deadwood the movie, Jones' crime was noted by the media. So somehow he's managed to continue to work despite all this.
Oh, just proof positive that there's a lot of enablers.
Yeah.
In Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, shit ton.
What do you think about all that business with the Nickelodeon?
Dan Snyder.
And Dan Snyder and I can't remember the guy's fucking name. I know that it's something Peck. David Peck, Daniel Peck.
I don't remember that. Along, I don't. Those lines. I'm not familiar with that guy, but I know Dan Snyder. Well,
no. Yeah, this is all, you know, part and parcel to each other. And mm-hmm. the dude is like a, you know, known pedophile and so forth. Sexually assaulted one of the Nickelodeon stars, Drake Bell,
mm-hmm.
and was apparently pen pals with John Wayne Gacy. And keeps framed letters and a print that John Wayne Gacy painted and sent to him in his home and everything else. The dude goes to prison for the sexual assault, gets out, and immediately gets hired by Disney to do voiceover work on another kid's show. Like, how did they not fucking know? Well, then they found.
Are we talking about Dan Schneider now? Or
No. We're talking about this other guy, this other tech guy. And as soon as it became public, you know, oh, hey, Disney just hired him and he just got out of jail. Well, then Disney cut all ties with him, et cetera. But
mm-hmm.
how, like, how do these people keep finding work in children's programming? This is fucking insane.
Who knows? Well, I mean, I know that Dan Snyder has allegedly had gotten Ariana Grande. What's her name? Amanda Bynes. Pregnant when she was 14. Had to report the child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I heard this. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, Dan Snyder's a fucking creep.
Dan Snyder.
Yes, Schneider, not Snyder. I think Dan Snyder is the former owner of the Washington Redskins. Fuck him too, but you know, he didn't do anything weird at Nickelodeon.
Let's see.
Probably gets confused for him all the time. People hate that guy too.
Well, I'm not getting any clear answers here, but apparently he just had a very creepy relationship with her, tried to help convince her to emancipate herself from her parents and go under his care and stuff.
Yeah, he was going to pull a Steven Tyler.
Yeah, pretty much. You can always tell these motherfuckers. You can always tell these fuckers are pedophiles. All you have to do is look at them. Just look at that fucking guy. He looks like a pedophile. And he is.
I know he hired what I think that they said, because there's a special that came out. I want to say it was on Netflix, like a 4-part special about all the shit that happened at Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
And literally there was like 3 pedophiles or 4 pedophiles on his staff.
Yeah. Well, they flocked together, I think.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of this story. I had a friend who told me, like, when his dad was younger, he was part of a club where they would go together and trade porno tapes. Like, before the internet, that's how you got your porn, right?
Yeah, well, there was a dude when I worked at the dealership that used to bring... Like, he brought in a bag full of porno, and I was like, oh my god, porno, and I took it all home, and they're like, yeah, you were supposed to only take like one and give the bag to everybody. I never took his fucking bag back, because I was like, wait, you're gonna go tell somebody I stole your porn? You know, as an 18-year-old, I was like, I could masturbate tons to this, you know. But yeah, so I am aware that kind of shit existed.
Yeah. So there are porno clubs, but I imagine that, you know, like, within those porno clubs, you find these little niche people who are like, well, are you into this? And you're like, yeah. And they go, come to this meeting, you know. And then 16 months later, you find yourself hanging out with the scummiest people in the world who curtail to exactly or purvey exactly what it is that your sick little heart wants. And then you go into that group, and then you protect each other, because it's like, well, we all know what we're doing is wrong. And we all know what we're doing is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what happens to guys like us in prison. But we can't stop ourselves. And it's not so bad. It's not so bad. You know, all the fucking excuses they make for themselves. All that. And so they protect each other. And it's like, it's seemingly demonic how many of them are in the entertainment industry. And how unilaterally they exploit children.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the point where I almost want to make it like it was in like fucking like ancient like Rome, or like
ancient Rome might be a terrible example, because maybe they used to have sex with children and shit like that.
Well, maybe not. Maybe like England. Like, I'm thinking of like Shakespeare, maybe more like where if there was a child to be played by an actor, it was played by an adult. You know, like, maybe we don't need to have kids in movies. Maybe it's okay for them not to have a normal childhood and not be their little sacrifice their life for our entertainment.
Yeah.
So that we can have a realistic movie with kids in it.
Because, like, show me a kid that stays in the entertainment industry for their entire childhood that is
okay.
That is not permanently scarred.
Right. Exactly.
The ones that do like a little bit and then leave and are like, I don't want to do this shit anymore. I'm going to go and devote my life to something else. Normally, you know, come out semi-okay, but the ones that stay, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tragic, actually. Yeah. And it's all done for our entertainment. But like, I just think, and people would say, oh, well, movies wouldn't be very realistic. No kids. Be like, all right, certain genres of film and TV shows would go away. That's fine. We can accept that, right? Yeah. It's not the end of the world. You know, kids can still have cartoons, you know, that kind of thing. And then think about video games. How many video games have kids in them? Very few.
I think The Last of Us is the only one that comes to mind right now.
Right. Sometimes,
I mean, I think the Fallout games do at times.
A couple.
Yeah.
But they're not even really, they don't factor into anything. Really.
No. And you know? They're just passing characters.
Right.
Last of Us, I mean, is one of the main characters, but it's not like in a weird.
Speaking of Fallout, do you have Amazon Prime?
Yes. I know that there's a new series. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming out this next month. Well,
yeah.
By the time this airs,
My excitement on it.
I've seen trailers of it,
and I'm like, this looks like it has the potential to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But you know that they always put the best stuff in trailers, right. So we'll see.
Well, I have fairly high hopes for it. I have to admit. Because I just feel it's a story that, I mean, already it looks like Fallout, which is big to me. The fact that they're really sticking to the style, you know, which tells me they're going to probably stick to the lore, but it's not going to necessarily be like a Fallout game retelling. It's like it's its own entity, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know where it's supposed to be taking place.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
You know, and I want to be surprised. I fully intend to watch it the day it drops, see what it's about.
It's been a while since I got to get excited about something on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I used to get super excited about, like, Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And now my excitement has waned a little bit because some of the episodes have been, I don't know, not great.
Why are you surprised? They fired the guy who made the show.
Yeah. Well, because... what I read was that they had before his departure, before his, well, you know, essentially getting caught doing what he did, but they had already written like fucking 10 seasons or something like that. So a lot of this stuff is shit that he had to do with. Hmm. It's just that like when they like the biggest one that I can point my finger at. Because I don't know how much of the series you've watched. I don't think you've seen all of it, have you?
No.
There's an episode called That's a Morty. Like, That's a More. Mm-hmm. Where basically they're eating spaghetti and they're like, oh, this is the best spaghetti I've ever had and everything. And it turns out the spaghetti comes from another planet where when people commit suicide, their insides turn to spaghetti and it's delicious. That was like... a bridge too far for me to fucking be able to cross and not be like, you're making light of suicide. And for some reason in this particular instance, it just really grated me. It just didn't. The episode was not funny. The episode was not like well written. It was just garbage.
Well, I have to say, dude, like, and I know that, I've said this before, but I kind of view that type of television as garbage to begin with. I mean, it can be entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's essentially low-hanging fruit and easy jokes. You know, your Family Guy, your
American Dad,
South Park, Rick and Morty, all those.
See, I always thought Rick and Morty was of a higher level of stuff, and I really feel like in the first, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, it really was. I thought higher brow than that, but now it's kind of, you know, sunk to me that I don't get as excited about it anymore. I'm like, when the new episodes come out, I'll try to catch them.
I mean, I just it's not my cup of tea is all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad, except for Family Guy, which I'll say is bad. yeah, but, you know, I just it's not for me, you know. You know, I like Futurama. But see, like, Futurama has a heart to it that those shows don't seem to have. And I think that's the thing.
Much like The Simpsons, probably at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that The Simpsons is not just a shadow of its former self at this point either.
I'll be honest with you, I have not watched The Simpsons in like 12 years.
Yeah.
Like occasionally it'll be on and I'll watch an episode, but it's almost invariably something that's a rerun from like 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I have no idea what order I'm watching in, so I'm just like, oh, okay, this is a good one, or I remember this one, or this one kind of sucks, you know, like it. Simpsons is very hit or miss with me anymore, but back in its heyday, The Simpsons was the shit. Every episode was worth, I mean, everybody. That was in a time of cable when still you knew everybody was tuned in.
I remember tuning in to watch that and watch In Living Color.
Yeah.
Like on my little crappy black and white TV that I had in my bedroom that only had like a busted ass antenna on it, but I could still get the local Fox channel. So that's how I would watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Like religiously.
Right.
Watch them. That was like when Ren and Stimpy was on, or when Beavis and Butthead were on, and I would like sneak out to be able to watch it in the living room with the volume way down so my parents wouldn't hear me doing it and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a different time.
Yeah. I remember
when TV was just better.
I wasn't allowed to watch MTV.
TV was better back in those days.
I wasn't allowed to watch MTV for many years because I would emulate what happened in the music videos. Like, mom would catch me, and my brother and my mom would both have stories about how I would be like, they'd open my door and I'd be blasting Twisted Sister and I'd be in my underwear in midair and I'd have like a fucking bottle of spray, aerosol spray in one hand and another pair of underwear in my other hand. And I'd be like in midair and going, because they see me and I see them and they're freaking me out because they just barge into my room.
I'm not going to take it.
The reason why they barge into my room is because I was leaping physically from piece of furniture to piece of furniture and making a tremendous amount of noise. And this is,
I don't remember the Twisted Sister video where they were spraying underwear with aerosol.
No, but I was listening to We're Not Gonna Take It, and I wanted to be like, oh, cool, all the cool stunts in that movie or that video where they fall out of windows and stuff. I'm gonna pretend to do that by leaping from the top of my bureau onto my bed. And I was probably, what, seven or eight years old. So I was real skinny as a kid. So I was like a little monkey running around. Just, I didn't start getting fat until I hit puberty.
I remember seeing pictures of you as a little skinny monkey boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a big head.
And like a kind of a bowl haircut.
Bowl haircut. Yep.
Yep.
And the same kind of glasses I wear now. Only they were the same size as they are now. And my head was this much smaller. So they just enveloped my entire head.
I was gonna say, have you ever watched Solar Opposites?
No.
That's another like Justin Roiland. Well, it was his project until they kicked him off of it. That's actually still kind of funny.
It's just, to me, it's like it's the same style of animation, so it feels like it's in the same vein as the what I've come to think of as the McFarlane effect. Where it's like, okay, we found out what this guy can do. Now, absolutely everything that that person is associated with has to be that flavor or a similar flavor. And I think it's bullshit. And it just reminds me of how shitty the entertainment industry has become. You know, we have come out, we have run out of ideas. I was talking
to... That's why they keep remaking stuff.
Well, and I was talking to a friend about that the other day. And we were like, you know, he said, "But instead of remaking good movies into bad movies, why can't we take bad movies and make them into good ones? Like, pick a movie that should have been really good but sucked from the 80s or the 70s or the 60s or something, and remake it but make it good, cast it well, have a good strong script, you know." Like, let's think of a good example of a movie that could really use an overhaul.
I'm going to have a hard time thinking of that with the 70s, 60s, 50s type
stuff. Let's go with 80s and 90s.
I'm saying the reason why, hear me out, the reason why real quick is because the movies that were bad then were still good and were, you know, cult classics, and it was kitschy and it was fun. I think, yeah, probably 80s, 90s is where, 90s specifically, is where movies just were fucking terrible.
Right, right.
I think...
Okay, here, I've got a good example of a movie
To Die For.
Well, I was there. That's a good one.
That's a terrible fucking movie.
How about The Butterfly Effect?
Mm-hmm.
Cool idea, terrible execution.
You know, it's funny. I could think of movie titles off the top of my head any other moment, but right now...
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a total blank.
You put me on the spot, and I'm like, oh, God. I can't think of any movies.
I can think of movies, but they're all movies that are good. You know? What about If Looks Could Kill?
There were a lot of fucking bad sequels in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Well, like, look at the entire Batman series. Like, the first one was excellent. The second one was kind of goofy, but it was still okay. And then when Joel Schumacher took over, it became a travesty. It was just like, I can't believe this is purported to be taking place in the same universe as the Tim Burton movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the first mistake. They should have rebooted, but they didn't know what rebooting was yet, I don't think.
No.
They didn't start figuring that out until around the 2000s.
Definitely. Well,
we can just remake shit.
Wait a second. Let's remake Total Recall.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I really enjoyed the remake of Total Recall.
You did?
But yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
I haven't watched it.
I mean, for what it was, it wasn't, I don't know, like, it wasn't anywhere near the same premise that I can recall from the original movie.
Well, see, that's my problem. It doesn't need to be made into a new movie. It was perfectly done, first of all. And second of all, it's like trying Paul Verhoeven. It's like trying to remake a movie made by David Lynch or
Alfred Hitchcock
or one of those. It was made by a director who is an auteur. They get away with that shit because they are exceptionally good at having a vision and being consistent with it from film to film to film to film to film. You know, you know, you've got your all your great directors that you think of that do that.
Scorsese,
sure, exactly. And they can get away with more. But you can't just, I don't know, you can't just fucking then make a sequel and not have that director be involved and expect it to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, and it's frustrating to me to see like, oh yeah, this Linklater film would be great as a TV series. Like, no, it wouldn't. It was perfect exactly the way it was. It doesn't need a sequel. It doesn't need a reboot. It doesn't need a remake. Just enjoy it for what it is. Accept that it was of its time, you know?
Yeah.
Make room for new art tours. Where's the new directors that are supposed to impress the shit out of me? Why can I only name one? Is that my failing? Am I not going to enough film festivals?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to go to more film festivals. That's exactly what it is.
Like, the director who I would say is the true art tour of our time is... Panos Cosmatos. He's the guy who did Beyond the Black Rainbow and Mandy. He's only done two movies in the last 15 years, but they're both just phenomenal and visionary and done with practical effects where most people would lean heavily on CGI. He almost leans on practical to the point of it being a fault, simply because that's how he likes to make films, you know? And I mean, I don't know if you've seen Mandy, but just the performance that Nicolas Cage gives might be the best of his career. And I don't say that lightly, because despite making fun of the man, I do quite enjoy Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't think you can, you know, he can outdo Drive Angry or what's the fucking one with the motorcycle and he's the ghost and why can't I think of the
hell
fucking movie?
Hellblazer? No. Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've never seen that one, but I really enjoy him in almost everything he's in, even the bad stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because like, his bad stuff is truly good, even though it's bad, because he's in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, he was magnificent in that movie about the like Five Nights at Freddy's style movie. I can't remember what it's called. Wally's Wonderland, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was great in that. I think we watched that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. What else was he amazing in that I've seen recently? I mean, Mandy, obviously, his
breakdown. Did you see the one where he was the vampire? I can't remember the name of that one.
Renfield, yeah. Haven't watched that. Watched that yet. That's on my to-do list for sure. Bad Lieutenant. Have you ever seen Bad Lieutenant?
No, I haven't. I know that there's like a franchise of them, which is weird. It's like Bad Lieutenant New Orleans, Bad Lieutenant, you know, here and there and everything.
Is there really? I wasn't
honestly
aware of that.
Yes, like shitty sequels.
Oh man. Well, this is about pretty much what you'd think. It's about a corrupt cop who gets deep into like a drug sting operation. Mm-hmm. And like he's indiscriminately smoking crack and doing shit like that in the middle of his investigation. And at one point he harasses a senior citizen in an old folks home. You know, I mean, he's just he's completely deranged in this film. And it's probably one of my favorite films of his. And it's it's underrated, I feel. Like a lot of people don't know it. And that's a shame because it just does everything that Nicolas Cage does well, he does in this film. You know.
Check that under advisement.
Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah, we've gotten past the point of podcasting and are just talking about movies now.
Yeah, we really have.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think we're about done then.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we ran out of steam at some point in time. So, back to the original ending. I would love to sit here and talk about this longer, but I just looked at the time and we are out of time. So that's going to have to be a story for another time.
Thank you for listening to Story Time with Tom and Mike. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed giving it to you.
Giving it to you, like all those creepy feelings that you got thinking about the shows that you loved from the early 2000s that were produced, whatever the fuck, by Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon, or Schneider, Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon, because it's fucking creepy and horrible, and they really owe all of us an apology.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you say Dan Schneider correctly, your butthole should pucker just a little bit.
I feel, and you got like a little barfy feeling in the back of your throat. Yeah. Right. Because he's barf worthy. Okay, bye.